Oh my god. Oh my god. Do you know what? Simon's just done the most Simon thing ever. Guess what he's done?
This is a podcast in which two friends talk about the pleasures, absurdities, and imperfections of being human. I'm Simon Ellis.
And I'm Lee Miller. Welcome to Midlifing.
Oh my god, I'm so sorry. It was just the whole breaking of routine. That's so weird when you have someone who inserts themselves. Well, I asked him, of course.
It sounded like his arm was being twisted.
No arm twisting done. But of course, I also had to lift up the mic because he's, you know, as he likes to remind me, he's a whole lot taller than I am. And last night, we went out for dinner, and a friend of mine, a former frolic, said that he was better looking as well. So I haven't heard the end of that. So I think I might have maybe subconsciously decided not to. I was protecting my ego.
Yeah, you wanted to sabotage that. Yeah. I'm not going to drill down into the fact that a former colleague of yours said that he was better looking than you. There's all sorts of creepy ick going on in my head right there. No offense, person who might be listening, but...
Well, I have taken quieter. There's been a little blowback from last week's episode where I said that. that, you know, that because they're colleagues and we're no longer colleagues, they won't be friends anymore. You know, not surprisingly, there's been a little bit of blowback.
You did say that was an anxiety for you.
Yeah. But so I'm very disappointed that we didn't get to hear you say, "You're not Simon," or whatever it was that you said.
I said, "You're not Simon," because it wasn't Simon. Yeah, it was. I mean, it wasn't even a passing impression of you.
No.
You sounded far too intelligent, handsome, capable.
Tall.
He would have hit record.
I can't. I mean, it really was that interruption of a normal routine. So yeah, very sorry, but I'm not sure that Finn said, I don't like him saying he did the most Simon thing ever. I don't think of that kind of thing as the most Simon. I think of that as an anti-Simon or non-Simon or un-Simon, but you know, okay, well, impressions of ourselves, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Do you know, the other thing is that, Finn's here with his girlfriend. There's a lot of good things to say about Sophie, but I'm going to say the best one is, my goodness, can she make a brownie?
In fact,
I think it's actually a long way ahead of all the other things, none of which I can remember right now.
But brownies are right at the top.
And I think they've probably got butter in them. That's my guess.
Yeah. I made you a carrot cake today.
Oh, thank you. Shall I come over later?
Yeah, absolutely, because it's made with olive oil.
Oh, I so appreciate it. I might... it's going to be tricky today.
Oh, okay. That's fine. It should keep.
So I drive round. It'd be quite a drive from here, wouldn't it?
Be about 6 hours, I guess.
Oh, don't have a car either.
It'll be a longer bike ride then.
I can imagine. How are you? It's nice to hear your voice as ever. Oh, that's the other thing. My colleague's going on about your lovely voice. Oh, just fuck me sideways.
You know, okay, sidebar. Fuck me sideways is such an interesting phrase, isn't it? Because for me, I go very is that like when people put the spear in Christ's wound? Because that is it, that kind of sideways thing? Is it in what?
It is a very odd. So you've heard it. It's not an antipodean.
No. I've heard it, but every time I hear it, I go, I'm not sure how you do that because it sounds so visceral.
Yes, it does. It does sound like it's not supposed to work like that, which I guess is the point.
Exactly. Yeah. But even so, I get so caught up in the mechanics that I can't really pay attention to what's following. What now?
I like that about you. Forget about the metaphor. Let's talk about the actual mechanics of the thing. How does it work literally?
Yeah, how do you do that? It sounds uncomfortable.
Next week on Midlifing.
I'm sorry that your colleagues have been referencing my voice. I'm sure they were just doing it to tease you.
I'm sure they were. I think there must be ways of stopping the feed going to their phones.
We could just stop uploading it. That would be one way.
Or just charge an exorbitant fee that no one's ever going to pay.
Patreons.
No, anyway, how are you?
I'm good. It's been a lovely, lovely week.
Oh.
Yeah, for no specific reason, except I feel that I have achieved things.
Oh, you are achievement oriented. You're more achievement oriented than I've ever given you credit for.
Am I? Yeah, maybe I am. I got to
a point. Closetly achievement oriented.
I think I am. I got to a point, I think it was on Wednesday. Was it Wednesday or Thursday? I can't remember. It was one of the days.
One of those blissful days.
One of those days, Wednesday or Thursday. I got to 3 o'clock in the afternoon and I just said out loud, I'm going home because I can't achieve any more than I have done already. It's a perfect day and I don't want to spoil it. And I just left.
You're clearly settled in at work then. Yeah. Imagine that on your second day. On your second day. Or even in your second month, people are like, oof, oof.
Yeah, he really needs to think his attitude. He thinks he's achieved everything. Yeah. No, but it was one of those days where, in fact, it was one of those weeks where I got loads of things off the desk. I went, that's done, that's done, that's done. And I was feeling very proud of myself.
Did you give those things to your PAs, did you?
I don't have PAs. Right. How dare you? I have colleagues I work closely with. I don't have PAs. You think I'm more important than I am. And I'm not, and I don't. But no, it was just, I got things done. I had also, you know, you sometimes have, well, by sometimes, I mean quite often, those meetings where you find yourself going, why am I here?
Mm.
What am I in this room
for? I think of that as a meeting.
Well, I had a series of meetings that I knew why I was there and things were achieved and I was just really pleased.
Wow, you should all come and lead a workshop at our place.
I don't want your frolleagues to like me even more than they already do. I just come in and get business done.
Do you think of yourself as more achievement oriented than Bob?
Oh, that's a really interesting question. We've got really different rhythms. It's starting to become clear to Bob's colleagues just how ferociously well-read she is.
Mm.
She spent last week, I mean, not the week, we just had the week before.
It's just
true. Yeah. Yeah. It's like objectively clear. We had she was sending me, I think she copied you into it as well, didn't she? All of the PhD presentations that she was watching over the course of a week. And she wrote probably about an A4 side worth of notes and comments and feedback and suggested readings to every single presenter. Upwards of 30 people over the course of the week. And at one point, one of her colleagues went, Where are you getting this from? Where are you getting this information from? And she went, I don't know, I just read stuff. And the incredulity, I think, that person met that statement that, I just read stuff.
Mm.
Yeah.
I think it's also, you know, because it is more than just reading stuff. Because I think there's, you know, that's about applying expertise in a very, very particular way. Because it's you know, because there's also a question of what, which best things to offer this particular student, judging on where we feel they're at. All those very complex things that are going on. It's not just like, oh, this reminds me of this. Or maybe it's as simple as that, but I doubt it.
No, you're right, it's not. And she told me that she misheard what somebody said and ended up giving them a really long response to the concept of lurking. And they'd said luring something in. And she went, oh, that's interesting too. Here are some things about luring. But she'd already like talked to them about lurking for about 5 minutes. And everybody was like making like really rapid notes going, this is fabulous. This is really interesting stuff about lurking. Apparently nothing to do with anything that was said, but everybody really loved it. So
very well read, but slightly dodgy hearing.
Exactly. I think our response to achievement is just so wildly different that I don't think we're in competition.
She's
with
all in process, you think?
If
you're Mr. Product, she's Ms. Process.
I think that's probably fair. Yeah. So I think her idea of achieving something is not the same as mine.
But we're about to talk. We're turning to an episode of Mr. Men there in that moment. Hi, Mr. Achievement. Mr. Product.
Hi, Ms. Process. yeah, no. So it's been a good week for that reason, if not for other reasons. And I'm sure I've had like nice things to do. Yeah,
and have you got any? Have you got any content for today, other than the ferociously nice week that you had?
I read a report that there are only three types of men.
Oh,
yeah. Only three types of men. There's effectively the traditionalist. There is the... this is in relationships, so this is kind of questions about relationality. There's the... They don't call them this. I can't remember the names. I didn't commit it fully to memory because I'm not sure how I feel about it. There's the traditionalist. There is the person who believes in meritocracy. And then there's the person who's at the vanguard. And that's it.
This is to do with
relationship to other people. And I found myself scratching my head and going, I'm not sure I believe that. I might ask Simon about it. And then I got to the end of the report. And then I just ate some hot cross buns and stopped caring.
which is a great ending to this conversation.
Yeah.
But wait, so hang on. Traditionalist, what was it? Traditionalist, vanguard,
And then the one in the middle, which
meritocracy.
Sort of meritocracy. So the idea that, and apparently people who are kind of in that meritocratic space end up putting quite a lot of secret emotional labor on their partner because they appear or think that they are working towards a kind of an equal and egalitarian approach to the relationship, but they end up really not doing that much. So it upsets everybody.
Oh.
Yeah, apparently. And those at the vanguard are the ones who usually have a more genuine relationship to equality in the relationship, but quite often their sense of masculinized self is impacted and can often feel divorced from wider notions of masculinity and therefore feel isolated. It's, yeah. But like I said, I didn't commit it to memory because I just went, yeah, all right.
Oh, so you don't want to talk about that?
No. Instead, okay. I'll tell you.
You're going to list
briefly.
Things we're not going to talk about.
Yeah. Yeah, here's the thing I don't want to tell you about.
Yeah, I'm going to just imagine fielding all the emails from listeners. Like,
good. Okay, that's my content done. Please tell me you've got exciting things to actually
wait,
tell.
That's it.
That's it.
That's just keeping me up to. That's getting me up to speed. That's not content.
Ah, yeah. I mean, it's content-ish. It's content-like. It's content-light.
It's content. It's not even content-adjacent. Come on.
I got a new computer.
Oh, God.
I got an iMac. It's lovely. It's got ever such a big screen and a lovely camera. Can't switch it on.
You can't switch it on?
Well, I can, but I've not got login credentials. I've got to have them to fix it. But
then, is it a work? Oh, you've got a new computer at work?
No, I brought it home. I'm not paying money for computers when I work somewhere that has them.
The university that I work at, which shall remain nameless, the university that cannot be named, they've lost...
But if anybody's interested, don't talk when you go there. Wink, wink.
I don't know what that means.
Oh, you must have heard the phrase that you've been sent to fill in name of town here you're not talking to someone.
That's right. See? I've heard that many, many times. That's pretty much everyone's knee-jerk response to saying, yeah, I live in...
that place.
Yeah.
Anyway, the aforementioned not to be mentioned...
Yeah, is they always buy the cheapest computer regardless of the business case you've made. And also now they've made them so locked down to render them pretty much useless.
Oh.
So like you can't use iCloud, for example, or use use an Apple login. So you, all that stuff that it's just so yep.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. Oh.
Yeah, my yeah.
So I buy my own computers just so you know which side of the tracks you're living on these days.
Okay, I'm definitely not on that side of the track. I phoned up IT yesterday and I just said, so the thing is, when the wiggly picture comes on, I can't make it do the thing, and I think that you can use your magic from over there to make it mean that my wiggly picture switches it on. that was pretty much verbatim what I said. And the young woman on the other end of the telephone went, yeah, okay, don't worry, I'm writing up a ticket about that. I said, you're not writing wiggly picture and do the magic. She said, no, I've translated it into human speak, but I know what you mean. She was really helpful.
I thought you were going to say...
because I was talking nonsense.
I thought you were going to say, no, jump, just in case, just to check if they were going to say, how high. But no, that was great.
I just was like, oh no, the wiggly picture thing, when you click it and it goes wiggly wiggly, and then I put my words in and the words don't work. I need the words to work. And can you also make
username it so that... and password, right?
Exactly, the wiggly wiggly picture. She knew exactly what I meant. She wrote it up in a ticket, sent the ticket back to me, and I read it. We're like, oh my God, she has actually been able to intuit what I meant from wiggly wiggly to, Very helpful young lady. Yeah. Wonderfully friendly, and finished the conversation with, you have a lovely day, at the same time as I was saying, you have a lovely weekend. And she went, ah, you got me. It was great. Such a nice exchange. Oh, you know what? I think I might be having a really nice time at the minute.
Yeah.
Soz.
Good.
I think I'm just really happy, and I'm a bit annoyed with myself because I think it's probably annoying and obnoxious.
It's a little bit, it's really great, and I am happy for you. I am indeed happy for you. But it's not like that where I'm at, which is not to do anything to you. Absolutely not. But it's it makes it interesting. It's interesting, such contrasting experiences.
Yeah. Yeah. I was having a conversation with a colleague yesterday about legacy planning. I talked about this a little bit last week, but I cut it out of the podcast because it was boring. I always forget which bits you cut out and which bits you haven't.
So yeah,
but I was just talking about, you know, oh well, because we've been in receipt of some funding, which I don't know if I've said that out loud on the podcast, but we got some funding. Which will allow people to
I think the technical verb is that you totally cha-chinged the hell out of the university.
We were successful in a little bit of a bid, which was really, really positive for the institution in which I work. But the most exciting thing is that it's nearly all revenue. There's very little of it is capital, so it's like it's not going to be spent on shiny things, it's going to be spent on people, which is lovely.
But that's because you got the other bid to buy all the shiny things. Isn't it? Okay. It's
yeah,
true.
It
right?
is. Yeah, 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 yeah. I mean that's yeah. we bought the shiny things.
Now you need the people to shine the shiny things.
Exactly. Yeah. But it's really nice. And part of the bid buys me out of my job. As is quite often in bids. You know, it's quite for those of you who are not in this bizarre world.
It might not make any sense to anyone who's not. Yeah.
So what happens is you have a job that is kind of the job that you do. And then you basically say, now I'm going to do this other job, which is separate to and potentially beyond my, I don't mean like kind of hierarchically above my, I mean over and above, beyond my job that I'm currently doing. So I will need to be paid for that so somebody can do the bit of the job that I usually do that I can't do because I'm doing this job. So it's a weird thing.
Yeah, but that means it's called buying you out of your... Yeah. And it'll be a certain percentage of your position, I imagine.
Yes, yes, it will be, and I think it's 0.5.
Oh, right, so it's a chunk of money.
It is. Anyway, we were talking about, therefore, legacy and what would the next 5 years look like. And it was just a moment where we were talking about, if you employ somebody from the outside, the anxiety is, of course, that you might, and we're not doing that. That's not the part of the plan, because I'm not planning on going anywhere. But if you employ somebody from the outside, you've always got that sense of, oh, how might they work with the team? What will it feel like? Blah, 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 blah. And I also reflected to the colleague I was talking to. It's like, yeah, but it's also important to remember that the person that is in that role, they can become a bit of a prick as well. And it's
the person who takes over might be better.
Yeah, no, I meant me. I meant the person who's currently in the role is not always necessarily going to stay that same person. So I suppose I was reflecting upon the idea of happiness, that I'm happy right now and probably not annoying to my colleagues. But I'm also thinking about, and we sort of talked about this in the abstract last week, there have been moments definitely where I think in other places that I've worked, I've been somebody that people liked and then stopped being that person.
I read something this week which was along the lines of, we change, but generally speaking, people's perceptions of us doesn't change. meaning that we're shifting all the time, and that it just that very simple thing that it, once you have the sort of perception of what this person or who this person is or what they do, we cling on to that idea of that person very, very strongly. It takes an enormous amount to change out, which is sort of slightly contrary, I think, or contradicts what you were just saying then, maybe.
What do you think people think you are?
It's that that thing that you know, in a social situation or in a work situation, where the true terror of finding out what it is that people really think of you, because of course it's always a mix, right? It'll always be things which are there'll be some really good things, and there'll be some things that aren't so good, and things that actually really frustrate people, and I don't know. I find that question quite confronting. And I try not to dwell on questions like that, if I understand you correctly, because I'm not sure what good can come out of that dwelling. I mean, there's a certain amount of reflective aspect, which is, I wonder how I could be better in this situation with this friend, or I wonder how I could support this colleague better than I'm doing, or what is it that I'm feeling here which means that something has to change, or, you know, all those various things. But those are sort of micro versions of this larger thing you've just asked.
Oh, I'm sorry I turned the temperature up in something.
Don't get me wrong, super fascinating. I mean, it is, I think, the question of, especially in a work environment. I mean, I appreciate that we're talking about work more than we have in the past, but I guess that's just, you know, things that are going on in our lives, right? But it did make me think about, yeah, what even if it were just one thing that if you had the opportunity to tell a colleague about them, like, how would you go about doing that, and what would that be like? For example, with the people I line manage, and also my postgraduate researchers, my PhD students, I do that start, stop, continue thing, which is just to ask them, just make three lists for me. Start this, continue this, and stop doing this. And it's just a way of getting really kind of quick feedback on things they're experiencing. And it's done often enough and lightly enough, I think, that they can say, can you stop doing this, for example.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Start, stop, continue. Which is different from a personality thing, though.
Yeah.
Could you be less of a...
You might have to train people and support them to be able to understand how to say, stop doing this. Could you just stop that thing where, you know, you're really a dick?
Feels like an
attack.
Yeah, could you take a break from being a dick just for a little while?
Could you take 15 minutes off from being an absolute tool? I would be really, really grateful.
And could we synchronize really watches on it, so I'll know to be ready when it's on again?
Yeah, I definitely want to be around you in those 15 minutes when you're not being an absolute massive pillock. I don't want to miss it, because, you know, I feel like I've had quite a lot of the pillock of you, so I'd really like a bit of the not pillock of you.
And what an interesting transition when the alarm went off at the end of those 15 minutes. Like, what a fascinating... Would it be just like a jump cut back into pillockness, or would it be...
Would it be
like they were basically sitting the marshmallow test, and they're trying, like, just doing anything they possibly can to distract themselves from eating the marshmallow / being a pillock, right? You know, like sitting on their hands, pushing the things around, doing whatever that, you know, three-year-olds in the marshmallow test.
Exactly. But I like to imagine that what would happen is, as soon as that 15 minutes was over, you would, like, just gently point to somebody's chest, and they'd look down at it, and you go, boop, and hit their nose. And that would be the indication that you were back in the room. Ah, he's a dick again. Boop, got your nose.
Very nice man. Lives in Melbourne. And no, it's not you, David Corbett, if you're listening, just to be clear. You're about like fourth or fifth. Anyway, very, very nice man. And when every time I went round there, I was always struck by his niceness. And I don't mean that in any disparaging or, oh, he's so nice, kind of like it's sickly sweet. Not, I don't mean that at all. I mean genuinely lovely. And I used to, when I used to leave, I had that, and I used to bike around. It's quite a long bike out there. And I'd get on my bike and I'd always have this little bit of like, I'm not as nice as that man. And I used to say to him, you know, I love coming to visit you, but one of the things, I have this little moment when I leave of going, you're not very, a very nice human being compared with this one. I made his niceness about me. I don't mean it like that, but it was a really kind of curious situation of going, I'm not that nice.
I think you're nice.
Oh, thank you. It's, it is lovely to hear that. And I think
I but I do.
I think I am at times, but I also have a side of myself, which I definitely do not like. And it comes out, and you know, it comes out, of course, in those situations which are most difficult.
Yeah, but that's an interesting thing. To have a side of you that you don't like is not necessarily the same as not being nice. That's a something. That's something that you don't appreciate about yourself, but other people might. People, you know, there may be people in the world who appreciate directness, who would enjoy being with you,
who enjoy being ridiculed nonstop.
Yeah. Yeah. So there may be people who find that delightful.
Are you calling me direct?
No, actually, I'm sort of slightly teasing you because of the stuff that, you know, we know in the past about Clunk. Yeah. I think that one of the things I like about you and that I think is nice is that you are, you take criticism very, very well.
Oh. Oh.
Yeah.
I don't think I would ever have said that about myself.
If I ask you to stop doing something, you don't usually go, what do you mean? It's just a joke. It's just a joke. Come on. You don't do that kind of posturing or response. Mm. You go, oh, okay, shit. Oh, I didn't realize that was happening. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. I'll try. So you take that kind of criticism on board. And even if you're thinking, fuck you, you don't communicate that.
Mm.
And I think that is, there is an absolute niceness to the ability to be able to absorb somebody saying, oh, mate, when you do that, it makes me feel this, and not then making your response.
Yeah, not pushing it
sort
back.
Sort of double down. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. No, I thank you. I think I recognize that. I do recognize that in myself, although I also don't think it's very rare that I would think the fuck you. You know, in the background is the how dare you criticize me or anything like that. It's much more that, we definitely talked about this last week, which is there's quite a strong sense of my loyalty to the dynamic of a group kicks in very quickly. Meaning I have to look after the group or be part of looking after the group, not the person solely responsible for looking after the group. And that overwhelms. So if it means if I've crossed a line or then, and of course, you know, happens all the time, of course, Clunk, that it becomes an imperative to cross back.
But I would say that's an indication of nice.
Yeah,
you know, so, it goes back to that thing that you said that he wasn't sickly, he wasn't kind of schmaltzy or saccharine, but there was something about him, and I'm sure he has a sort of a self-talk that tells him a very different story of who he is because he's a human being.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't... But,
Soz, I just think you're nice.